First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 18th, 2011. Seek.
If you would all please stand and read with me Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Alex's first time to lead us in scripture reading. Today's word is seek. Seek. You ever played hide and seek? I'm never any good at hide and seek. There's some things that are family versions of hide and seek. If I say letterboxing, have you heard of letterboxing? How many of you have ever been letterboxing? My family has, because my family's been letterboxing. What is that? Well, sometimes, and we haven't done this for a long time now, there are people who hide things. They'll generally take a plastic container, and in the plastic container, they will put a notebook of some sort. They'll put a stamp, a rubber stamp of some sort, and an ink pad. And what they'll do is they will go on, generally the ones we've looked at have been on a web page, and they will give you clues where this box has been hidden. And the fun thing that comes with it is you hop in the car, look at the directions. Sometimes they give you GPS coordinates, so if you have a GPS, you can find it. That doesn't do you any good if you don't have a GPS, so you just have to follow the directions. But you look around, you dig around, and sometimes you have to stick your hand in a hole and hope there's no snake, spiders, or shepherds or anything in there. And you reach in, you find the box, and you open it up. And then, hooray, you've been successful. So our family, we have a stamp. The stamp is of our Johnston family crest, the kilt pin pattern. So we take it, we stamp it, and we stamp our name in the little book that's there. And then maybe we put our handwrite our name in and that we were there. They will have a little stamp in there. You know, they take the stamp and you put that in your little book because we have a little book. It's a little plastic bag we have this stuff in. And then, hooray, we found something. And then you go out and you get ice cream or something when you're done. So it's kind of a fun thing. If you like to hop in the car and drive around and do a kind of family thing together. And I remember one of the most notorious times in my mind, we had done that here, and we found an area that was really rocky. It was down around Mount Rainier. And we looked so hard that I knew I should never work for search and rescue because I could have never. We looked, we stood there, and then we left about two or three times, and it was one of you guys. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Who found it? Was it you? Was it Mom? It wasn't me. Because it was right where I was standing, and I couldn't find this box. So that's part of the thing, is you look around, and if you don't find it, well, better luck next time. You still go get your ice cream. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you look, if you hunt, if you seek, because sometimes it's all about, you know, having fun. It's about, you'll hear people talk about, it's about not about the destination, it's about the voyage. Well, sometimes that's the case. But sometimes the destination is what matters. If you're like me, you remember the story a couple years ago about someone who had an accent. They had an accent because they were from New Zealand. They were on New Zealand, and they were getting on a plane in Chicago. And the person was having some problems with their vision, so they asked, "Can you please guide me to the plane to Auckland?" They wanted to go to Auckland, New Zealand. Instead, they were guided to the plane to Oakland, California. Hopped on the plane, sat down, didn't say anything, got there, thought, wow, this is very, very quick, got off, and why am I here? What's going on? Well, misunderstanding, miscommunication. It wasn't all about the journey. They needed to get to the right destination. If you're sick, you need to get to the hospital. I told you a couple of weeks ago when I first got, when I'm getting over now, boy, just miserable, uncomfortable, 100 and something fever, coughing all the time. Barbara looks at me, okay, I'll go to the doctor. You know, I don't like to go to the doctor. I'll go to even to the emergency room. So we hop in the car, and we knew where to go, got in, got parked. But if we wouldn't have found it, it would have been incredibly frustrating and irritating to try and get to the hospital and not find it. And if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3 is going to talk to us today about what God expects from us on our experience in life with Him. If you take a look there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, we are having a change, a transition in our book. Most of the time when Paul writes a letter, the letter can be divided into two halves. The first part of the letter, he's telling them something that they need to know. In the book of Colossians, he's told them a lot of truth about Jesus Christ, about he is God just as the Father is God, that Jesus Christ is completely reliable. He's told them that he is the one who is the source of wisdom and knowledge, told them that Jesus Christ is the guide of their lives, and that they don't need to worry about any other knowledge or seeking any mysteries or finding any other incredible little facts about life to have a successful relationship with God in the future other than the facts that they find right now in Jesus Christ. He tells them that in their relationship with Christ, they are crucified with him, as in they've died to sin. They're buried with him. There's a lot of with Christs in the epistles that Paul has written. He says they're buried with him. In other words, again, sin should have no power over them. That they live together with Christ. The idea is that the source of their life, the source of their continuing relationship with God, is found in Christ. It said that on occasion they will find that they are suffering in similar ways in this world that Christ did, but that ultimately they will be glorified with Christ. So with those kinds of thoughts, you can look there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ. When we look here, Paul is talking about if. When you say if, here read since. He's being nice. He's using just a literary style that was common back then, putting a little bit of question in there so that the readers, as they looked at this, would have known that the answer would have been yes, that since. Because in verse 3, you can tell it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's telling that since you were raised with Christ, since you have new life, since you've trusted him as Savior, since all these things we've been talking about with Jesus, that he is the one who is the creator, he's the one who is the sustainer, he's the one who keeps everything hanging together, he is the one who obtained your redemption, he is the one who is the standard. Don't worry about other people who try to add things to a relationship with God because it's hard to seek him as it is. No, don't worry about those extra rules or extra guidelines or extra requirements. If it's not there in Scripture, don't worry about it. Worry about being with Jesus. Worry about being, as it says in Colossians 2:6, that phrase, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Receive that one who is the promised anointed one from God, who has come as your Savior and is the one who you should pattern your life after, and walk in him. If those things are true, the first verse continues, seek those things which are above. Something I used to hate, maybe you love it, sorry, are those Where's Waldo books. Did you ever get those when you were younger, Bibles for kids? Where's Waldo? I got this picture up here because, if you can follow my little black dot right in the middle here, there's Waldo, right there. But this little square is only a small section of a large page in a book. And it used to just drive me crazy to have those little seek and search books and find the things you're supposed to find. We bought books like that for the kids. They would have a listing. On this page are, they would list two or three things. Can you find where they are? And those were good to give to the kids because their minds were entertained and they were interested in seeking it. But me, I hated that because I didn't want to. For me, it was like schoolwork. Why should I have to look to find the answer to this? And then it would task me and I would hunt for it. And I wasn't necessarily the first one in the family to find the thing. And the looking would drive me crazy. Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, as he changes in the book from talking about tremendous things about Jesus to essentially saying, now because of these tremendous things that we've learned about Jesus, here are things about you that should be changed, that should be different. He's telling us that eventually we need to move beyond only seeking. Here it's telling us, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. But I want to challenge you to look at this verse in such a way to understand what I think is the proper meaning. And that is, the seeking is not something that should be done on its own, in a void, as an end. Seeking is not an end. God wants us ultimately to find things. Someone says, well, I've been seeking God all my life. And the answer to that is, you should find God through Jesus Christ at the cross, trusting the Holy Spirit's help to help you find him. Jesus is found at the cross. Someone can say, I can be seeking God's truth for life. There's some things that are uncertain about our lives. There's some specific decisions that we make. But much of life in guidance and wisdom and direction is very plain, is very simple. There's commandments. There's guidance. There are Jesus' own words. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 give a lot of clear, plain explanation as far as what Jesus expects from our lives. So the seeking should not be something that in general continues persistently, that doesn't lead to finding. This is not describing life as a constant voyage seeking to discover. It's not a looking but never finding. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 has a stress on the thing that is being sought. Seek those things which are above. We're speaking about seeking to obtain, as I tried to connect somehow my kid's story with what we're talking about today. All of them had candy. Some of them didn't even have to seek more, it just arrived. All of them found something, but some found more. If you're driving around, you're like me, I've had this happen before, driving along the road and the car has one of those little lights that come on, bing, and it has a little picture of a gas pump. Because, oh yes, I'm below the E now. Well, you may drive on the freeway for quite a long ways, waiting to see a sign, but eventually you're going to have to know that you've got to get off, because the time to find the gas is now. Otherwise, hopefully your cell phone is working and there's a road shoulder, because you're going to need to pull over and stop. This is telling us, I believe, that we must do what's needed to actually find what we're looking for, especially seeking to obtain the right treasures that God has for us to find. A couple weeks ago, we've had, I don't know what it was, but my brother, who's now on the Lord, my brother Dwayne, was a guy who enjoyed prospecting. He took me gold panning when I was a kid, but he also had one of those metal detectors. Mr. Ackman, I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last, it hasn't happened for a few weeks now, but at the end of the summer in July and August, there began to be a few people that would come out here to the grassy section out here at church, and they had metal detectors. And I was watching them. Somebody went through the field out here one morning and thought, well, maybe, you know, who knows. But then one Sunday afternoon, right when it was youth time, a man drove up here, pulled out his metal detector, and went behind the parsonage. And began to use his metal detector to look about. And I said, well, people said, there's a guy out there. I went out and talked to him. I says, you know, I can appreciate you out here on a treasure hunt, but I want to point out to you that, number one, it's not a park. Number two, it's my backyard. And number three, so you find something here, it's probably somebody here, it's a church or some kid has dropped something and it wouldn't be here, so I'd like to discourage you from metal detecting in somebody's backyard. And he was kind and friendly and says, I understand, and he took off. It's fun to hunt. It's fun to search. Some of you are great shoppers, and you'll say, I found the 99% off coupon. I watched one of those TV shows on cable the other day about an ultimate shopper. And she was a lady who had 100 coupons for detergent. And when she was done, she not only did not pay for her 100 bottles of detergent, but she got back like $30 or $40 worth of rebate from the grocer. I missed those coupons in the paper. So she's better than I. But the point is they're seeking to find. And they're not satisfied to just look. They want to obtain. As we continue to look at this, what is Paul talking about? What is he trying to get at? He says this over a couple of times. He's going to get specific in a moment. Excuse me. I'm seeking to quit coughing. This is the only time, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the only time the word seek is used as a direct command by Paul. So as he gives this, he's giving something that's not common in his directions to other people. If you look at Romans chapter 2, verse 7, some other parallel ideas with this, when he's telling them to seek the things that are above, I believe he's asking them to reorient their desires, their will, their plans, their purpose. In other words, it can be hard to be someone who is constantly thinking about what God wants you to think about. The way this is written in our original language of the Bible here indicates this isn't a one-time thing like trusting Christ as Savior, not a one-time thing like when you get immersed, but it's something that should be done continually, all the time. The idea is changing life to profitable goals, goals that God has for us, seeking things that are above. He tells us the same thing in a different way in the first part of verse 2, as he says, changes from just seeking those things to set your mind on those things. And perhaps the best way to see what he means is to look at the opposite. When we look at the term here that's used for thinking, setting your mind, plan your thinking. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 uses the negatives, opposites, contrasts to the way that we should be thinking. Romans 12, 3, if you remember, that comes after the first two verses where their believers are told not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. And it goes on and tells them, by the way, if you're someone who is transformed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit, like you should be, you are not going to be thinking like this, he says in verse 3. You're not going to be thinking first of yourself, and second, you're not going to be thinking of yourself in a way that is vain or prideful, not thinking of yourself more highly than you should be thinking, but to think, and we have the word soberly, the idea is to think plainly and seriously. Again, the idea is of carrying out a plan. The point of this is to push us to one aim, and that is to push us towards seeking the things that God guides us to find. There's a lot of things around us in the world. A lot of things to occupy our minds. When we get done here at church, I'll go home, we'll have some lunch, and I'll be occupying my mind with some football today. Freely admit that to you. I enjoy it. Watch a little bit of baseball on TV. I admit it. I enjoy it. There's lots of things I like to do. Like to read, like to go here and go there. Those things I enjoy. But Paul is saying that as you do all these other things that you have to do, that are important to do, take care of the house, take care of the kids, go to work, take care of your commitments, do the things you're supposed to do. He says there are some things that, because of your relationship with Christ, you should be focusing to not be always trying to be like this. You know, I'm guilty of this like other people are. I'm working on it. I'm working on getting there. He says there are some things that you should be seeking to find, looking to find whatever you have to do to make these character traits your destination. And it might take some effort in your head as you listen to God and His words and other people, because normally, naturally, we think of ourselves. We want to think that we're different, that we don't have to be as hard on ourselves as other people are, and we should expect more from them, but maybe not from me, because I always have a reason why I shouldn't be as hard on myself as I am on you. We'll be looking at these things more specifically next time, but if we were to look ahead at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul is going to work his way to telling us that therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's the list. What are the things that are above? What are the things that characterize the way the ones who are seated next to Christ, who are with Him, who observe Him, who worship Him, who praise Him, what characterizes those individuals? Tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. The Bible on occasion gives us lists. Here's the list from Colossians. Bearing, here's the verse that is going to turn the knife when we get there. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So our friend Paul is going to take us to this place. Next Sunday we'll walk there more clearly, where he tells us, you know what? We have a tremendous Lord and Savior who has great power. He has the power to give you forgiveness, new life, and the understanding of the Holy Spirit to guide you so you can make spiritual decisions. Because of these great possessions you have, you as an individual should be like Christ. You should be having these characteristics that are found in Jesus that the people who truly know Him should have. And he says, you shouldn't spend your whole life, by the way, looking for them. Because this is the hard part. He says, somewhere along the way, you need to find these in your life. Somewhere it needs to not just be a trip. Somewhere you need to find the destination to have these character qualities. For us, no one passage gives a stronger push to keep reading our Bibles, praying, and listening for God's voice above all others than this call to be constantly seeking what's above. Because that's what this verse is telling us, to be constantly doing what is necessary to have these Christ-like character qualities. It tells us that we are responsible. Seek those things. Set your minds on things above. We are responsible for directing our mind, our will, our thoughts to find God's things. We're constantly drawn to things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. Don't be only constantly setting your minds on things of the earth. And only by overcoming them with God's things will we be truly free. I have to apologize for something. I'm from Denver and I follow the Broncos. See that guy's face? Tim Tebow. Will he ever be a good quarterback in the NFL? I have no idea. Are the Broncos going to play him? I have no idea. Would it make any difference if he played? I have no idea. I'm not a football prophet. Don't look for me and say Denver and the points. That's not going to help me with anything. He might be a good player. He might be out of a job next week. Might not make it in the CFL. Might just go back to what he was doing as a young man and find out maybe God has best had him suited to go back and be a missionary to the Philippines. That's how he spent his young career. Maybe that's best for him, I don't know. But the point is, neither does he. He has a desire, he's going to see what happens. But even if he never plays another down in the NFL, if he never starts another game, if he never completes another pass, and if he hears people chanting for other people besides him the next time he gets a chance to play, his life will not be a failure. Because so far, his life has been demonstrated to be centered on God through Christ. So even if he's cut, even if he doesn't score, even if what they say about him is right and he'll never make it, he'll go on and do something else. And his life hopefully will be successful, because hopefully he is what he seems to be, someone who has sought things that are above, who has set his mind on things that are above, and has taken opportunities that God has given him to have a Christian witness in a difficult place. Guess what? The same is true for us. Take the things that you're trying to do. I hope you don't flunk all your classes. Adam, I hope you don't mess up your geometry. I hope you two ladies don't have car accidents on the way to school. I hope everything goes good for you at home. I hope you don't shake hands with me for another week so you don't get sick. Hope Awana goes good. I hope a lot of things happen. But even if things change, you can be somebody who sees that things are going to work out if you will set your minds not on the things you have immediately that can change. In another place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, "The things that you can see are temporary." Hope you enjoy the thing that you've got. Hope you enjoy the new clothes. Hope you enjoy your car. Hope your kids enjoy that candy, because it's temporary. But the things that are unseen, the Bible tells us, are the things that are eternal. So he asks us to look above, look up. What does God ask for us? That should be what we seek. Fame is fleeting. So is beauty, and so is having a 32 waist. But the things that are unseen are the things that are eternal. God, help us, we pray, to be people who, while we're doing all the things we have to do, while we're working to take care of our family, our friends, while we're taking care of our responsibilities, while we're trying to stay on top of our debts, while we're trying to do our jobs, while we're trying to learn new things and remember, God, help us to look and see what you tell us is most important. What is your son expecting from us? God, help us to see that that must be the most important concern of our lives. What does Jesus expect from us? Help us then to give that its due concern and place in our lives. Help us be what Christ expects from us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,